In your Bibles tonight, look at several verses. Matthew 24 to begin. We're looking at the second coming of Christ. In the second coming, we have two aspects. Number one is the rapture, where Christ will come in the clouds, call us up to heaven to be with Him forevermore. Here on the earth will begin what is called the tribulation. And then at the end of the 7 years of the tribulation, Christ will return to the earth to fight the battle of Armageddon we read about in the book of Revelation. Now, during that seven-year period of time, Revelation 6 through 19 transpires. All the wars and the famines and all of the earthquakes and cataclysmic events in the heavens and all those things that will take place during the tribulation. Thanks be to God, we have the promise we'll be in heaven with the Lord, safe and secure in our salvation with God. And so we're looking at that subject of the second advent, when He comes back at the end of the tribulation, and the rapture, where He takes us to heaven to be with Him. Matthew 24, verse 3, speaks about the tribulation. He said, "And as He sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto Him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am of Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise up against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All of these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." Look at verse 32, if you would. Skip over to there. Verse 32, Matthew 24. "Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender, and put forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. So likewise, ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." Let's pray. Father, as we look into your word, guide and direct what is said tonight to be a help and a blessing to your people. Motivate us to do the work of the Lord while we have the opportunity, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't think it's any secret to any of us here that Christianity is declining in the world. Sadly, it is declining in America. Few things outside dedicated Christian people, true Bible-believing, Bible-centered churches like this one, and Bible colleges that hold to the old paths. Other than that, there's nobody that has the same values and morals and philosophy that we have. Our government does not share our values as Christians. We do have a president who professes that now and who's been very friendly toward churches, has appointed a Supreme Court justice too, I believe, now, hasn't he, since he's been in? And if Ruth Bader Ginsburg would hurry up and die off, we might get another one, you know, before it's too late. God help me. Let's see. Bless her heart. That's what I should have said. Yeah. But the government does not share our values as a whole. Our educational system does not hold our values any longer. The entertainment industry does not hold our values. Way back, the normal TV in the 50s and the 60s in black and white era, they had morals and values. There was Father Knows Best, and there was Lucy and Ricky didn't even show them sleeping in bed together or anything like that. There was nothing immoral, unethical, no vulgar language or anything like that in the entertainment industry in that day. But Hollywood has come of age today, my friends. And there's not hardly a movie produced that has a rating that is worth being able to see as a Christian for the entertainment value. It's so corrupt and abusive toward God and the Bible. Our educational system, our entertainment, our government, and the media. When's the last time you heard of a Christian person in the media who said anything nice about churches and preachers and the Bible and anything of that nature? Liberal churches and liberal colleges and universities do not share our values, our morals, our goals, and our foundation. Many other nations are far ahead of America in their slide away from the Bible and Christian principles. They are persecuting Christians in many countries around the world today. Russia, China, the Islamic nations. Do you remember? Do you think about it ever? Iran today was Persia in the Old Testament of the Bible, and Cyrus, the new king of Persia, is the one who said, "The God of heaven has told me to rebuild his temple in Jerusalem," and he freed the Jews from Babylon to go back and to rebuild the temple of God and gave them the things they would need in order to be able to go and get the temple rebuilt. Today, Iran, in the book of Revelation, the seven churches of Asia Minor are located in today the country of Turkey. That once was Asia Minor. It was a hotbed of growth among churches in the Gentile nations of people. And those seven churches were all literal churches in Asia Minor of that day, which is in the country of Turkey today. And today in Turkey, a Christian would be afraid to stick their head up lest the Islamic groups take it off. Europe has been invaded by Islam, including England. And people of England see their country now as a mission field that people need to come to start churches, where Christianity was sent out, where missions around the world was born in England. And no longer is it a country of Christianity with Christian values. And it isn't just England, my friend. Islam's moving to America also. Persecution begins as a squeeze in families, in community, in churches. And then politically, nationally, they begin to take control, and they have an effect on the church. Some countries have declared other religions as their national belief. And in many countries, it is against the law to convert anyone. You can't go to those countries and freely preach the gospel or convert anybody. You're in danger of being expelled from the country or put in prison or possibly even have your life taken in many countries, including places like Egypt. Islam rules in a number of countries. China has cracked down on Christianity over and over again and outlaws any kind of public evangelism. It's against the law to publicly witness and pass out tracts and preach the gospel. This isn't new. John the Baptist had his head taken off because he preached against the king taking his brother's wife. And the wife didn't like that. And so when her daughter danced before the king asked her what she would like to have up to a portion of his kingdom. She went to her mother. Her mother said, "Bring me the head of John the Baptist in a charger." I don't like for people to talk about chargers around preachers. It makes my neck sweat. Might take my head off. He was the last of the Old Testament prophets and revealed Christ as the one who would take away our sin in John 1 in verse number 29. Jesus and all of his disciples were persecuted. Most all of them died martyrs' deaths. Jesus died on the cross for our sins, but he was persecuted by the Jews, rejected by the Jews as a nation. Romans persecuted Christians and Jews, and it was Roman persecution that caused the early church of Jerusalem to scatter to the places of the world. Fortunately, they took the gospel with them as they went, but they broke up the great church in Jerusalem because of Roman persecution. Idol worshipers persecuted Christians as Paul and others. Paul was stoned and left for dead by his own people simply because of preaching the gospel. Stephen was stoned to death with the face that appeared to be like an angel, praying for God to forgive those who cast the stones upon his head and killed him. James and Peter were put in prison, and they took James out and took his head off with a sword. They held Peter, and an angel came and opened the doors and broke off the chains from his arms and set him free that he might continue to preach the gospel for a spell. One by one, nations have persecuted Christians by imprisonment and death and have broke up churches with persecution. China, North Korea, Iran, Egypt, hundreds have been killed and imprisoned as Christians just in the year 2018. You don't see a lot of coverage about that in the news media, but it's going on every day. Today in our nation, in the Hollywood media, they want to stereotype Christianity. They want to reveal people in the movies and in the industry as being fanatics, being deceptive and immoral, being people who are only in it for money or for immoral reasons and that sort of thing. The media of today and the news places a wall of separation between church and state. That is not in the Constitution of the United States. That was something that Jefferson wrote to Baptist preachers, that there would be a wall of separation so that there would not be a church-state religion. And it was in a letter he wrote to them personally. It was not an official government document separating the government from the church. The emphasis of the country not making any laws concerning religion is to allow for freedom of religion, not do away with freedom of religion. But the media wants to put a wall of separation. They believe that the church, what we preach and what we teach and what we believe, should only be done within the walls of this building right here, not out and have any public influence on other people. Why? Because when you preach the Bible, it cuts both ways like a two-edged sword. It preaches right, and it also preaches against wrong, and they do not want to hear that. Laws and media want Christians to have no say. They are not doing anything to stop abuses toward anybody who has a public position simply that they believe God, believe the Bible, believe in America was founded on those principles, like Chick-fil-A. What in the world harm does Chick-fil-A do to anybody because they're closed on Sunday and because their owner happens to be a Christian person who donated money to Christian purposes and all that? Hobby Lobby fell under the attack of the government for that same reason. The CEO of Home Depot has come out and said he's giving away his personal millions of dollars to Trump for his reelection in his campaign. I suspect there'll be pickets against Home Depot now because this former CEO is going to use his own personal wealth to do something for President Trump. If we quote the Bible on adultery, homosexuality, and anything of that nature with people we work with in the public arena, you could be fired or you could be sent off to a retraining psychological group because of hate speech or anything of that nature. Companies have been intimidated by the ACLU, American Civil Liberties Union. They have sued small town councils because they had prayer before they began their session. Now they're attacking some because they're pledging allegiance to the flag before they sit down as a council to meet about the business of their community. They made an attack on the Catholic hospital because it did not offer its employees insurance that would cover abortions and would not supply the morning after pills and all that sort of thing. We all saw the lawsuit for the bakery, which we're very glad that they ruled in their favor and they did not have to pay the $135,000 they were sued for because they wouldn't bake a cake for these homosexual people that wanted them to put a sex organ on a cake and all that kind of thing. And this Christian family refused to do that, and so they got sued. It was not because those people wanted that. It was because they knew they could sue them if they refused it. And they did, but it's been overturned. We're glad for that. But how far away are we from that kind of thing getting worse and worse and worse? You go to Charlotte, nobody knows who's supposed to go in what bathroom. Charlotte's been in a mess. And there are corporations refusing to do business in states because they don't allow abortion on demand. Because they don't support the gay and lesbian community and transgender and transvestites in their bathroom determinations. I don't want some man dressed up like a woman going in the bathroom with my daughter or my granddaughter or anything like that. Neither does anybody else. Now, we cause some of our own trouble if we fail in our morals. Jesus warned his disciples, "They hated me, they will hate you." Now, we know we're in a spiritual warfare. Let me give you some verses without reading them tonight, okay, for time's sake. 1 Timothy 4:1. 2 Timothy 3:1, 2 Timothy 3:1, 1 Timothy 4:1, 1 Timothy 6:11-12, 2 Timothy 2:1-3. It all talks about the spiritual warfare, the problems of the attitude of people in the end days, in the last days. Paul urged Timothy to continue to preach the word, even though many would turn away from sound doctrine. And we see many people turning away from that today. In 2 Timothy 3, he warned perilous times will come in the last days. Perilous times. Jesus said, "As it was in the days of Noah, even so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man." The people in Noah's day were unprepared. They were not in expectation of judgment. They were not prepared for the flood to come upon them. Noah had preached righteousness all of his adult life, but only his immediate family made it into the ark. So there was a time where apparently no one was being saved. Man's mind was on evil continuously, therefore God was going to destroy the world. The Bible says violence filled the land in that day. And we know that the coming of the Son of Man, as in the days of Noah, refers to the second advent, not to the rapture. But we see the changing of the attitudes of people in the world even today with many of these things that will get worse and worse as time goes on. We get closer to this day, we should be looking, we should be expecting, we should be longing for the Lord to come and looking for Him to take us home. Because of that, we must be busy about the work of the Lord because we don't know how much time we're going to have. Paul wrote about it, I mentioned this morning in Romans 13:11, our salvation is nearer than when we believed. The completion of our salvation, the taking to heaven to get a new body, it's nearer today than when we first believed. I got saved on September the 14th, 1975. My wife and I both got saved that day. My salvation is much nearer today than it was in that day. True Bible Christianity is more and more foreign to the world today. The last days are revealed as dangerous times, times of peril, times that are dangerous, times of jeopardy. Not the TV show. Number one, the danger of false teachers leading people astray and telling them what they want to hear instead of reproof and rebuke and exhort with long suffering with the Scriptures. The times that he speaks about in the last days, the times is kairos, not chronos in the Greek language. Chronos is where we get our English word chronology. But kairos refers to a season of time or an epoch of time. That same word is used in time in Revelation chapter 1 when it makes the reference to the times. This times of men, they'll be lovers of self more than lovers of God. We certainly see that among people today. They'll be covetous. That means they will be greedy, have a desire for money. It isn't just people that are greedy today and love money more than they love God. There's a whole system of preachers that do business on television and radio who love money and are covetous, and they don't think they can live without jets and mansions and all that sort of thing. That is foreign to what God teaches in His Word. But it fits right in with covetousness. False teachers produces false living. They are boastful, arrogant, self-exalting, often due to people having a lack of esteem. They need their ego fed constantly, and so they are boastful. Blasphemers, they are slanderous toward those who should be respected and in authority. Disobedient to parents. They are young people who are self-willed and without respect for parental authority. Ungrateful, no appreciation, not thankful for anything, demanding, expecting, I should have anything I want and everything I want. Unholy, the indecency that is in our world today. Unloving, without natural affection. People, if you sat down and wrote down on paper the worst things you could imagine, you're trying to write a script for a horror movie and you thought of the worst thing somebody could do you know what? There's somebody out there already doing that. And they're in the process of doing it again and again and again. I mean, you can read horror stories about things that have actually happened that the police departments have had to deal with, from putting babies in microwaves. And I mean, you just go as far as you can go. How horrible, how unloving, how unnatural it could possibly be. And there are people out there that will do that. It's not going to get better, it's going to get worse. Truce breakers means they're beyond reasoning with. They make no covenant. They make no promise that they will keep. False accusers is the Greek word diabolos, meaning devil. Planned Parenthood fits right in there. They're false accusers. These trials for these Supreme Court justices going in, they have hired people to come in and tell lies before the Supreme Court to try to keep them from getting elected. It happened with Clarence Thomas. It happened again with the most recent fella. And many of these senators and congressmen were a part of it and knew everything that was going on. Truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent. And that means they have no self-control. They are wicked and evil. And these are characteristics of men in the last days. And we see people doing these things now, but you don't see them on the scale of what they will be doing before the end comes. Fierce, brutal beasts, despisers of good, haters of God, haters of the Bible, haters of Christians, traitors, that will turn on the church, turn on their own family, turn on Christian people. Heady, meaning reckless, high-minded. Their heads are in the clouds. They have no use for any tradition or like our America that's been passed down. They want to tear it apart and start all over and have it their way. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. They're hedonist, pleasure seekers. They have a form of religion, but they have no power to live for God. From these, the Bible says, turn away or separate yourself. Those are characteristics of the last days before Jesus returns to earth and fights the battle of Armageddon. But we see those things in type today in many places and in many people. We see it in our government, we see it in our entertainment industry, we see it in our media, and sadly we see it in many places that call themselves churches that once preached the gospel, but no longer do they do that. God help us. I'm glad for the promise that Jesus is going to come and take us to heaven to be with Him forevermore. Do you know Christ, your Savior? Are you ready for His coming? If you're not, we're going to give you an opportunity to come. We'll take the Bible and show you how. Let's stand together. Father, bless the preaching and teaching of your word. Bless your people. Thank you for their faithfulness. And bless in the meeting that will follow. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.